problem.
And we're in business.
It's Peter Tilden.
At 10!
Talk Radio 790 KABC, Peter Tilden at 10 begins right now. Brought to you by Larry Miller and Sit and Sleep. Larry, of course, will beat anyone's advertised price, or your mattress is free. We have tickets for the news quiz to see Brad Paisley up close and personal at the Saban Theater. You'd never get to see a superstar this big, this up close and personal, other than when we do these benefits. This one's for the Tom Sherrick MS Hope Foundation. So I'll tell you when to call so that you can go see the concert and win the tickets. We also have tickets to the Zac Brown Band. You can choose to do that when we do the news quiz. Lots of stories to talk about. Lots of stuff happening in D.C. today as far as healthcare, as far as taxes. And we'll get to that in a minute. But Dr. Kipper is here, as he is most Thursdays, and he'll be happy to answer your medical questions, regardless of what they are. You need a second opinion. You're asking about a medication that you're taking right now. Any question you may have, you're an advocate for a family member, or you're talking about recovering, and you need another opinion. 800-222-5222. David, how are you today? Good?
I'm great, Peter. And yourself?
I'm very good, as a matter of fact. I feel good. I got a good night's rest. I feel pretty happy. And we're doing the Tom Sherrick MS Hope Foundation thing, and you were one of Tom's best friends, too. So we're keeping that charity alive, and the station has been gracious in letting us continue to do the charity event, and Brad Paisley is gracious enough to do it again for us, I think for the fourth time, which is really appreciated. And we have some surprise guests that night. You'll be there, David, correct?
I'll be there.
Can we put up a little booth where you can do the cough test? People can move through?
I want to sing. I don't want to.
That's not happening.
No.
I didn't. Can you sing? No, you cannot sing. Couple things that I wanted to start off with. Number one, Harvey Weinstein is in the news, and I'll give you more details about what's happening with Harvey Weinstein and his situation and Hollywood, how they're dealing with it, the legal issues and ramifications, and the new information about him and what he's doing. But the first thing that he said he was going to do was go to Europe for sex rehab. Have you ever had any dealings with sex rehab, David? Is it the same as any kind of addiction rehab?
Yes, the behavioral rehabs, Peter, are, whether it's eating, sexual behavior, these are all, again, I go back to these neurotransmitters. Excuse me. These are all dopamine imbalances that people have. So somebody that has a sexual addiction is somebody that needs constant stimulation, and it comes out, in his case, needing sexual experiences.
So what do they do in these rehabs? They hit you with a buzzer every time you get an erection? I mean, they hit you with a volt of electricity? What do they do?
Yes, actually, I mean, it's not exactly that, but it is cognitive behavioral therapy, in that they're teaching sort of Pavlovian responses to that need for constant stimulation. So they're trying to replace that with healthier options and to show.
Shouldn't his testosterone have gone way down already? The guy's in his 60s. Or is this not about that? It's not about that.
No, it's not about that. It's about having a dopamine imbalance. And so some places recognize that. I think the smarter places recognize the neurotransmitter issue, the brain chemistry issue, and they treat the brain chemistry. They rebalance brain chemistry. And then once you've done that and people can actually focus on behavioral therapy, then they do the behavioral therapy.
So this is real. It's legitimate. If you go to the right place.
It's common. It's very common.
And now I just was talking to Leanne. She said he's going to Virginia at this point, supposedly, for that. I was wondering why I said Europe. There are no places to do it here in the United States to do it successfully.
I think that guy wants to get out of town.
I think so. I think he was doing, as we call, a Polanski. What he was going to pull a Polanski and not come back and just go overseas and be that guy.
You know, Peter, gambling addiction is the same thing. And some people believe that texting is the same thing. You get this immediate response. You get this immediate stimulation from these behaviors, and they're very much in the same
direction. Got it. So we'll see. Again, I have the updates. I'll give it to you when we talk about Harvey a little later on. And it does tie in. It's amazing. Megyn Kelly may have turned the corner this morning, and I'll talk to you about that. It has to do with Harvey Weinstein. The other thing that many of you probably don't know, you know, the government is here trying to do health care. All these congressmen are trying to fight for our health care and do the right thing for us. Did you know that there's something called the Office of the Attending Physician in Washington, D.C., that if Paul Ryan comes down with the flu, they don't have to go to CVS for Tamiflu, what happens is they walk downstairs. These are the guys who are making the regulations and rules for us. They walk downstairs and pick up the pills from the office of the attending physician. And every day, for at least two decades, pharmaceutical drugs are brought by the carload to the Capitol. In this, it's kind of under the radar. Even pharmacy lobbyists weren't aware of the fact that they have Navy doctors triage medical emergencies, and they provide basic health care for lawmakers who pay an annual fee of just over $600. So for $600, you're in Congress, they'll deliver to you. You go downstairs, you get whatever you need. The interesting thing is that the pharmacist who does it now said, and he has HIPAA laws that he's got to contend with, but he says, I'm now filling drugs that are from some pretty serious health problems like Alzheimer's disease, late-stage diabetes, and you got to wonder what congresspeople have late-stage Alzheimer's disease that are still being marched into the chambers and told what to vote for. But I just thought it was interesting that the guys who are making the laws of the land are going, they have access like nobody else. They get taken care of like nobody else, and it's right there, man.
It's an interesting paradox that it's been here forever, and that the people that are deciding on our health care issues are pharmaceutical issues, our insurance issues. These are people that don't have those issues.
Not at all. There are a couple other stories. And by the way, 800-222-5222, that are in the news, newsworthy stories. They're not necessarily you diagnosing something. But by 2025, California will be short about 4,700 primary care physicians. That's a huge number when we're looking at health care. That means waiting times are going to be bigger. That means backups as far as getting stuff done. But the nurse practitioner thing can help that. But I didn't realize, especially in California, that you have to be supervised by a supervising physician. In other states, you don't necessarily have to have that. And they're saying that the physician's lobby is making sure that that happens. And it kind of cripples nurse practitioners in the sense that the way the rules are written, it protects doctors, where you can get these nurse practitioners who do have education beyond just nursing school. And they could really help people with their problems. And right now, the lobbyists are keeping that from happening. What do you think about the nurse practitioner situation?
Believe me, Peter, in 10 years, 5 to 10 years, you're going to see a nurse practitioner or a physician's assistant as your primary care person. Nobody is going into primary care medicine from medical school now, if you look at those statistics. And there's too much in the way of responsibility. There's too much in the way of red tape, documentation, legal exposure. They're just not buying it. So they're going into specialty.
But are physicians going to allow nurse practitioners to practice without being supervised by an attending physician every time?
It's not going to be a physician choice. It's going to be a government choice, because we're going to run out of people.
We're there. It's coming up at this point.
We are there, actually. And it's amazing to me. I have one of my best friends is head of pediatric GI at Mass General. He sees a nurse practitioner, and he's at Harvard. And, you know, my conversation with him repeatedly is, doesn't that concern you a little bit?
But it's already happening.
No, he says, because I'll call you if I have a question about it. But the reality is, this is what we're having, and this is our future.
It is our future, but I just saw that they're being prevented in a large case scenario here in California by the rules and the laws.
I think that's just doctors being worried about competition. And look, the more practitioners that are out there, the better. I've had a nurse practitioner and a physician assistant working in my office at one point. They're well trained. They're certainly
well. That is our future. And then down the road is robotics and Skyping and doctors that are not there that are talking to you from another city that's outsourced. The other big story that was interesting that only can happen in today's world: parents separated, divorce, mom gets primary. Custody. Husband's fighting for equal custody, right? She doesn't want the kid to get a vaccination. Father does. Court orders it. She goes to jail because she refuses. Father gets the vaccination for the kid when the mom's in jail. She gets out and she's suing because she said she didn't want the kid to have vaccinations. These people who are anti-vaxxers are as forceful and as certain that this vaccination is causing something. And do you see that growing, a growing problem at this point, David?
No, I don't see it as a growing problem, Peter, but I also see it as a consistent problem. It's not going away. And these are educated people. These are, you know, I have this conversation with patients that don't want a vaccine. The flu vaccine, which is now current, is a very common problem every year. People say, well, I don't believe in vaccines. What they're really saying, especially with the flu vaccine, is that I'm afraid of needles. Last year I got a flu vaccine and I got the flu. They got a different virus, not the one that's protected by the vaccine. Or I'm sick and I can't have the vaccine now, which is also
a mess. Is the anti-vaxxer thing for kids, is that growing? Is that getting some more heft to it? Are people buying in because you can find somebody to agree with you on the internet in
a
minute? I
think it's more public now. So, yes, there are more people that are vocal about it. But it's very hard to argue with people, especially about what's best for their children. And I'm not sure that I think we should legislate that. I think
except that you're going to then have polio back again. You have to. Well, it's hurt. You can't let somebody into a school who's going to infect other people. So moving on, we got a bunch of emails. Number one, lupus. How do I know I have all the symptoms? How do you know if it's lupus?
Blood test. There's a blood test.
Does it right off the bat?
It's called an ANA, anti-nuclear antibody. And for people that have lupus, that's the biomarker.
And it's fail-proof, it's pretty consistent, the
yes,
test?
Yes, and a lot of people have the biomarker, a positive ANA, that don't have lupus. More people actually have the biomarker that don't have the actual disease. So the biomarker itself has to have a certain concentration in the bloodstream that will indicate a clinical disease.
And what is the symptom? What are the symptoms of lupus, the early symptoms?
Lupus can have arthritic symptoms. It can have just general fatigue. You can have certain infections, but it's usually an arthritic problem that people present with.
All right, another question. This is from Ron, who writes, you guys talked about stem cells. I listened to your show for years. You talk about it a lot. I don't hear much about stem cell anymore for knee, hip, that kind of stuff. Is that a growing industry? Is that
Absolutely.
Something that, does it work? Is the information there and the proof that it works? Do they have the quantitative analysis?
It does in certain situations have great efficacy. The problem is these stem cell lines that are directed into joint stem cells or heart stem cells or kidney stem cells, these stem cell lines take quite a while to develop. And it requires not only technology, it also requires some legislation that allows us to go forward. So it's
Have you seen success with people with sports injuries who are using stem cells?
Yes, I actually have.
And how long does it take to see a difference?
You can see a difference if everything lines up correctly. You can see a difference within weeks.
And is it covered by any insurance at this point or no?
No.
And that's because, is it very expensive?
It's because it's expensive, because it's still considered experimental. And also the practitioners that are doing stem cell are not, again, they're not in the mainstream, so that's another reason. But this, in the next 5 years.
That's it. That's going to be the standard?
Yes.
All right, and then before we take a break, then we'll get to calls. Migraines. I got a couple of questions about migraines. Are there any new medications that are not dangerous to take that actually work on migraines? This woman wrote in that she has migraines. I forget the name of the medication because I don't have her email in front of me. She said it's very dangerous. They tell her not to use it a lot, but it's the only thing that gives her relief. And she said her doctor said there's been no advances in any kind of migraine stuff.
The only advance, Peter, in migraine medicines have been a combination of an anti-inflammatory, like a naproxen or an Aleve, added into the vascular stabilizing medicines that we have. Those are the common medicines for migraine. The Imitrex.
That's the meds. And you're not supposed to take them that often, correct?
Well, yes. I mean, there's a certain limit to it. But if you catch your migraine early enough, those medicines are very effective. If you wait long enough, it's a lot harder to get them under control. So, no, the only new advance pharmacologically is adding to the Imitrex-type medicine, an anti-inflammatory medicine.
All right, so we're going to take your calls, 800-222-5222, when we come back. Also, the breaking news stories in the medicine world, medical world, is a vasectomy, is it linked to prostate cancer? There have been a lot of research out there, and a lot of people are wondering, what's the definitive on vasectomy and prostate cancer? Cesarean deliveries may lead to obesity in offspring. What? So we'll talk about that, see if that figures out. There may be a super tumor suppressor that can prevent pancreatic cancer, which is a big deal. And the stunning one is that childhood obesity rates have risen tenfold since the 70s. And they say, let me see, in 5 years from now, there will be more obese children than underweight children for the first time ever. It's crossed the threshold, and it's become a real epidemic, and that leads to all kinds of illnesses and diseases. So we'll talk about all of those stories. We got a lot of other emails to answer that we haven't gotten to in the last couple of weeks. And, of course, we'll take your calls for Dr. David Kipper at 800-222-5222 when Peter Tilden at 10 continues right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Talk Radio 790 KABC. Peter Tilden at 10 continues with Dr. David Kipper. Phone number 800-222-5222. Mr. Brad Paisley, you're hearing him in the background. He's playing our Tom Shark MS Hope Foundation benefit. November the 21st, you can see him. And by the way, the cool thing about that night, and Brad is wonderful, he's going to do a performance, his regular acoustic performance, and then he gets to do a Q&A with you. So if you ever wanted to get up close and personal with a country superstar, this is the time to do it. Plus, he's a rare, amazing individual. He hosts the CMAs. He does a lot of charity work. I also have tickets, by the way, for the Zac Brown Band. If that floats your boat, the Hollywood Bowl, I'll get you those tickets instead when we do the news quiz. Dino came in here, David. And by the way, the phone call, 800-222-5222. We have a doctor sitting right here. No deductible, no copay. You can ask him any question you want from any part of your body, inside, outside, down there, over here, back there. No matter what hurts, what medication you want to know about, you've got an addiction problem, 800-222-5222. But Dino comes in and says, I didn't know about any of those stories you teased, the concerns between vasectomy and prostate cancer. The fact that there have been years where they've done studies and they say it kind of looks that they're linked, like they're linked. Well, they did a massive study, David, with more than 3 million participants where they found out there was absolutely, ready, Dino? No connection between vasectomy and prostate. So you can go ahead and do. Have you already done that, Dino? Because you shouldn't procreate. Anyway, David, you agree with that? I'm just threw that in there.
I don't agree that he should procreate. No, I think Dino should procreate.
Dino shouldn't procreate because he'll have a kid who needs either dinner or U2 tickets, and guess who's getting the money? Bono instead of Dino Jr. I'll tell you that right now. The kid will have to scrimp and save. So do you agree with that, David, that the research now says, because for a long time they thought that there was a connection, that vasectomy and prostate cancer are not linked at all. They finally, this was a big enough study.
I think this study was really definitive. I think this came up because as we started seeing more and more prostate cancer, we started to look at what associations there were with people that had prostate cancer. And there were a percentage of people that had vasectomies. But when they looked at the data, this was the same percentage of men that had vasectomies long before we were seeing this rise in prostate cancer.
All right. So you're happy. You're good with that. Are men still doing vasectomy? Is that still a thing?
Yes.
Big time?
Yes.
And how long is the surgery taken? How painful is it? And what's the recovery?
The surgery doesn't take a very long time, but it is a difficult recovery. People are, you know, again,
because it's there, because you're touching, you're messing around with there.
Yes.
So you're sitting on ice packs up there?
No, you're just taking it easy. You're just not moving around much, and it does ache. And it, you know, if it depends who you ask. If you ask the surgeon doing this,
it's easy. No,
it's
big deal.
No big deal. Or the difference between a good operation and a bad operation. If it's being done on you, it's a good operation. If
somebody else. I know. I'm just really nervous when it's done in the nether regions near the Nicky Nacks and the Schnumper. You know what I mean? I just don't like anybody hovering around down there. But okay, so there you go. 3 million people study vasectomy and prostate cancer, not linked based on the latest study, although there were rumors for years and people tried to make the connections. Coming up, we'll talk about cesarean deliveries and how they could lead to obesity in offspring. Dina wanted to know about the pancreatic cancer thing because my mother-in-law, boom, 30 days from my daughter's wedding, bought it. And Dino had a family member who got diagnosed and gone because they can't diagnose it early. We will get to, let's do this. Let's take a break. Let's do the news. We'll go to Perry and everybody else and take your calls. And then we'll get back to the news stories of the day and try and fill you in on that. But Dr. Kipper's here, 800-222-5222 to answer your medical questions at no cost to you. When Peter Tilden at 10 continues right after this.
KABC News, live and local at 10:30. I'm Jeff Whittle. President Trump signed an executive order today repealing a portion of Obamacare that he says will bring affordable health care to millions of more Americans.
Insurance companies will be fighting to get every single person signed up. And you will be hopefully negotiating, and you'll get such low prices for such great care.
But House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi questions his assertion.
It's pretty interesting to see that he would go down a path about which he knows little, and to do so in flying in the face of the Congress and saying all the while, I have the votes for health care. Something's wrong with this picture.
The Northern California wildfires have killed at least 23 people, destroyed at least 3,500 homes and businesses. Despite an around-the-clock effort by firefighters, meteorologist Chad Meyer says the flames continue to spread in northern Napa County and elsewhere.
The fires burning, increasing almost 10,000 acres last night. We heard, though, from Calistoga Mayor. He said there are no buildings burning right now in Calistoga. The fire's still burning, but nothing in the town is burning.
Hundreds of people still missing in neighboring Sonoma County, which has been hardest hit by those fires. USC, which is already reeling from the ouster of two deans at its medical school and the recent arrest of an assistant basketball coach, announced yesterday a vice president is leaving over sexual harassment allegations.
David Carrera, a big part of the university's $6 billion fundraising campaign, left his post last week, although it was unclear if he was fired or resigned. The LA Times reporting the school is conducting a probe that involves dozens of interviews about Carrera's treatment of women. USC received at least five complaints about Carrera this year, but an investigation did not begin immediately. It came only after the paper story in July focusing on allegations of drug use by Carmen Pugliafito, the former dean of the USC Keck School of Medicine, which prompted a renewed complaint against Carrera. I'm Rob Marinko, KABC News.
Talk Radio 790 KABC Sports. Calgary skated by the LA Kings 4-3 in overtime. Dustin Brown, two goals and an assist for LA in the losing effort. Ducks skated by the New York Islanders 3-2. Nationals shut out the Cubs 5-0 to force decisive Game 5 of their series this afternoon in Washington. Winner faces the Dodgers in the NLCS Game 1 Saturday at Chavez Ravine. Yankees beat the Indians 5-2, so New York will face Houston in the ALCS starting tomorrow. That's sports on the home of the LA Kings, 790 KABC. Traffic, a market check, weather, and more. Tilden at 10 next. KABC News Time, 1032.
Talk Radio 790 KABC. Peter Tilden at 10 continues right now with Dr. David Kipper. Going to talk about the opioid crisis in a second, and also super tumor suppressor may be found to prevent pancreatic cancer, and that was something that Dino was interested in because he had a family member who was dealing with pancreatic cancer. But David, if you want to talk to Dr. Kipper, as Dino says, no copay, no cash out of your pocket, 800-222-5222. Let's start with Doug in Toluca Lake. Doug, good morning. What's your question for Dr.
Hey.
Kipper?
Good morning, Peter and Dr. Kipper. Great show.
Thanks.
About 2 years ago, I was having a problem with my ring finger on the right hand. Went to a doctor, gave me a shot of cortisone. Yeah, I mean, it hurt like a you know what, but it was a lot better. A couple months ago, it's starting to act it up again, so I went to his partner. He didn't want to give me the shot because he explained, he said that it could rupture a tendon. So he said, I can do a procedure, 5-10 minutes, surgically, and you'll be home free. I wanted to know what your thought is and what am I going to deal with this surgery.
Did he explain, by the way, did he take the time to explain what the surgery is and the repercussions of the surgery and why it will work?
Well, for the most part, he just said it's a 10-minute procedure, and you come in on a Friday, which I'm going to do, he said by Monday you'll be good. I just wanted to know your opinion, doctor, what I'm going to deal with here.
Oh, and you don't care about my, that hurts my feelings, but okay, I'll give you.
I want to hear what both of your feelings,
I'm kidding.
Both of your opinions.
You should not hear my opinion, you should hear David's, because he actually went to medical school.
That's so you know. Okay. Peter taught me everything there is to know about a trigger finger. So this, you're getting both of us on this. What a trigger finger is, for people listening, if you picture a bone is a long shaft of the bone, and then it flails out into these two curved areas to the sides. That's what the end of a bone looks like. In the middle of that curved area is a groove where the tendons go in. And when these tendons slip out of that groove, whatever that tendon's attached to, the next part of the finger then flexes inside. So it moves it in. And that tendon that's held in the groove is what keeps the motion of the fingers intact. Anyhow, the tendon falls off the groove and you get there's inflammation, you get a cortisone shot. That helps a little bit, but it's temporary. What the doctor's going to do, and I agree that the doctor should fix this, and he will fix this. He just puts that tendon right back on there, and he gets it in there so that it's not going to fall off again.
Where do they make the incision? Can they go in rectally, or do they have to go in through the hand? I always ask if that's the choice.
Peter didn't actually help me with the treatment part of this.
After that comment, I'll listen to Dr. Kipper and not Peter.
Oh, it took that, did it? So where do they make the incision?
They'll
move
the incision right over that area of where that tendon has slipped off the groove in the bone. And it really is a 10-minute procedure.
So it's like putting a guitar string back in the track on the guitar.
Pretty much.
And the healing?
The recovery, Doug, won't be too terrible. You'll probably have a good size bandage on your hand for a week.
And
you'll be moving around a little bit because they're going to want you to keep motion. But you'll probably have some discomfort for about a week, and you'll be on anti-inflammatories. That'll be enough, probably.
But he should do it. There's no downside to this.
This will fix it. If you want to get this fixed, this is the
other question for Doug. Does he ask his doctor how many of these he's done and go to a special hand specialist to just make sure that it's the easiest and cleanest way done, or does he trust this guy to do it and ask him how many he's done in the office?
I don't know the group of doctors that are taking care of you, but I'm assuming these are hand surgeons. And the fact that this guy was pretty cavalier about the treatment and what it would require, it seems to me like he's done these before. And again, this isn't brain surgery. This is pretty simple stuff for these guys.
So you're going to do it?
Yeah, I'm going to do it. I'm tired of it. I can't take it. It's the ring finger. I can't move it. I did tell him, though, if he messes up, I have my middle finger. I can still use that off if he messes up on me.
Now, if Doug is this your favorite hand? Is this the hand you use the most?
Yes, it's my right hand, and I'm right hand.
So is he going to be? What's he going to be able to do? Incapacitated?
We call that, Peter, the dominant hand.
Dominant hand,
not the favorite hand.
Favorite hand. Favorite. I like favorites. So, with that hand, is it going to be?
Yeah.
Unable to use it for an entire week?
It's going to be a little difficult, yes. I mean, you'll be able to use it. You're going to have your thumb, and you'll have the other fingers, so you'll be able to oppose those other fingers. So you'll be able to hold a fork, hold a comb, hold a toothbrush in your favorite.
So there
hand.
You go. All right. You know what? Now you're mocking me. Now you're mocking me, and I don't like that. Yes, sir.
How long before I get it wet?
You'll have stitches in there. My guess is it's probably going to be a week.
A week that I can't
it'll be 3 or 4 days.
You wear a bag on your hand. Come on, dude. You wear a plastic bag in the shower.
That's what it'll be. You'll have 3 or 4 days where you have to keep it absolutely dry, and then you'll be able to loosen that up a little
bit.
And
then after the week, you're home free.
Okay, that's great. Hey, thank you guys so much.
Do me a favor, though, Doug. The only thing we ask is that you call us after the surgery and tell us how it went and what the recovery was so other people who have, because you'd be shocked how many people have the same thing you have, they can share.
That's what I hear, and I absolutely will do.
Thank you so much. Thank you. That's the only cost of the call. Doug, good luck. I will get to Robert and Perry and everybody else, 800-222-5222, when we return. And we'll do, for Dino, the super tumor suppressor story about the pancreatic cancer, where that's at, and the obesity epidemic in kids. Man, we are at a point of no return. This is not good. 800-222-5222. Peter Tilden, the tank continues with Dr. Kipper right after this. Talk Radio 790 KBC, Peter Tilden at 10 continues. The phone number 800-222-5222. We got Dr. Kipper here, and we got Perry on the line. Perry, what's your question for Dr. Kipper?
Hi, good morning. Last week, we talked about Xifaxan.
Okay.
And we said that, I mean, you said that it is antibiotic, but it does work a little bit more than that.
Okay.
So I went to talk to my doctor, and first of all, it's very expensive. It's actually $1,000. So, but I want to know if it, while taking care of bad guys in GI tract, does it actually increase the good guys? I mean, works like a probiotic.
Ah, very smart question. I'm going to put you on hold, and David will answer. So what's the answer to that, David? Does it deplete the system and kill good bacteria, or does it aid?
Perry, that's a really smart question, as Peter said, and it does both. It actually just rebalances your natural bacterial balance, which we call a biome. That's the different kinds of bacteria that we each have in our system reach their own balance. So we all have a different biome, and what Xifaxan does is that it gets rid of the bad ones that have overgrown to allow the good ones that have been normalized in your system to come back.
There you go. Really smart, really smart answer. Let's get to Randy real quick. Randy, what's your question for Dr. Kipper?
Yes, about 3 months ago, I thought I was having a stroke, and I went to the emergency room. And when I was in the emergency room, they did a CAT scan. They said I have Bell's palsy. I went to my general practitioner after that, and he gave me steroids for a week and then basically told me it'd be anywhere from 3 weeks to 6 months until I healed. I did have another person tell me that I should go in to see an ear, nose, and specialist to see if it's a tumor or anything of that nature. What do you think?
Where did it affect you? Face paralysis or what?
Face.
Okay.
Face
David, paralysis. David, what do you think?
Randy, we actually think that a Bell's palsy is a viral origin problem, and it's probably in the herpes virus family. They do resolve to some degree. Not everybody gets complete resolution. It's a virus that attacks the seventh cranial nerve, that's the facial nerve, and it runs through the skull, but branches of this nerve affect not only the facial muscles, but also affects the middle ear, the lacrimal ducts, which are the tear ducts, and also have branches that go into the tongue. So, and the muscles that open and close the eye. So when you see somebody with a Bell's palsy, and when it first happens, everybody thinks they've had a stroke because their lip droops. They can't really close their eye very well. They can have some pain. They can have some tearing. So all of these symptoms are consistent with the Bell's palsy and are very similar to a stroke, which you're going to.
So I was going to say, David, because of limited time, will he see a progression? Will he see it better in another week and then better slowly, even if it takes a couple months?
Yes, Perry. These things usually start to resolve. The steroids help as an anti-inflammatory. Not everybody, as I said, comes back to baseline, but stay on the medication. You may actually need some physical therapy.
And when will he know if it's working, like you said, or if he should have more tests to make sure that that's what it is?
Within 2 weeks. Randy, you're going to have a sense that you're moving forward, but this can take a long time, so be patient. But
give it the 2 weeks, and then if you don't see any improvement, then I would talk to the doctor maybe about the diagnosis. But it does take a long time. As a matter of fact, we'll take a break. When we come back, I had a situation with Bell's palsy that was insane in my family, and I'll tell you about that in a second. And we'll try and get them one more phone call if we can. 800-222-5222, Peter Tilden at 10. Continues with Dr. Kipper right after this.